All right. Good morning. I'm speaking this morning from the Pecumtuk River Valley on the unceded land of the Pecumtuk, the Nipmuc, and the Wabanaki Confederacy, and very possibly other tribal affiliations as well. This land was covered by the Portsmouth Peace Treaty of 1713, which was broken by the English in 1721. When it continued to be settled and colonized. The Historical Society of Greenfield, Massachusetts, where I'm a curatorial chairperson, has a primary goal of bringing forward a more nuanced history of our area and the people that are here before us and are here now. Many small local museums have similar goals, and they have collections that help tell the stories of their history. But where do these collections come from, and how do things wind up in a museum? Your high school yearbook, your kids' art from grade school, grandma's wedding dress, dad's army uniform, great grandpa's piano, the attic, the basement, the shed, the stacks by the bed. What do we do with the stuff? Sooner or later, we all have to face the realization that we have things in our houses that we don't need. Maybe it's things we bought once or inherited or were given in years past, and now it's taking up physical and emotional space. The added incentive of the safer at home directives under COVID-19 has made many, many people more aware of the full closets and the odd boxes they always meant to sort through. And that stuff is really a problem. Sometimes it's a very daunting task. People sort through their things and decide what to keep, what to give, and what to let go. Marie Kondo tidying techniques and free cycle offers and eBay auctions and Craigslist sales can only help so much, and mostly after the hard decisions have been made. Donating surplus household goods to places that can use them is easy. Getting around to selling that end table is just a matter of time. But when it comes down to the things that hold sentimental value, or that things that seem like they might have historical significance, it's tough to know how to proceed. And one possibility is to consult with your local historical society. Items in family homes and businesses become artifacts in museums through many ways. Occasionally we ask town departments or local associations or people involved in public work for the community to consider donating specific things that hold that story. Sometimes as a general call, memories and mementos of the Gulf War, the push for marriage equality, the current call for stories of how people have managed or have not managed through the COVID pandemic. Most common ways for museums to, for items to come into museums is this: someone offers their family or personal belongings for consideration for inclusion in the collection. In museums, we have a collections policy that helps with these decisions. And this sort of policy can help people sort their own stuff too. When deciding what to accept, we must consider the conditions of the item and any hazards that may cause in care or in display. The Historical Society in Greenfield goes through the same process when an item is offered. We have to review it, check it against the items in the collection, check it against the storage and safety needs, check it for the story it holds, make the most informed decisions we can. We have to be able to care for it. It has to be safe to care for. It has to help tell the story of our area. For someone dealing with their own things, or perhaps with the belongings of a loved one, having a similar set of guidelines can help. First is in the collection policy is the story. What is the story this item carries? The more stories are connected to an item, the greater a reason to have it. If there is an item in your house that you were unsure of keeping, think about what you would tell me if I were to come and visit. If it's, oh, I bought that book and didn't finish it, let it go. That's easy. If the story is, oh, I was visiting a place where this book is set and I didn't finish it because while we were there, my partner asked me to marry them. And suddenly there was a lot more important things to pay attention to. That may be important, but maybe consider that there are other memories and mementos of that time. If the story is, My grandfather used this book to teach me to read, and each time I see it, I hear his voice, and even when I read it to my own grandkids, perhaps that's a family treasure to keep forever. Another component is to consider if the item tells a new facet of the story. In museums, this may look like prioritizing items and offerings from underrepresented voices in local history and in the collection. The history of Indigenous people, of Black and Brown people, of women currently poor, children currently incarcerated, LGBTQIA, otherwise marginalized voices that can be so easily drowned out by focusing on wealthy white settler families. As institutions in the public interest for the public good, museums must think critically about the fullness of the story, knowing that we can never, ever, ever tell the entire story of history because we will always only hold a few windows for any given scene or any given life. All museums are political spaces. We cannot shy away from the more difficult or uncomfortable parts of local or national or global history. Critically, this also means looking at history as something that begins yesterday rather than in 1945. We must always challenge ourselves in museum work, but also as individuals, to remember that what is our childhood is someone else's history. I'm currently accessioning into the Greenfield collection, an America Online 5 hours of free internet disk sealed in package. That doesn't exist anymore. That's part of history. That mindfulness that time passes and we are passing through it is an important thing to keep in mind. For individuals, this drive to tell different facets of life may look a little different. You have a responsibility to yourself to curate your space in a way that supports you, that helps you live your best life, which may involve telling stories that help you keep that ideal in mind. If something in your home holds a hard part of your history, and having it that there as a reminder is of service to you, keep it. If it does not help or inspire you towards a more just, loving, and joyful life, weigh the story it holds and see if someone else would benefit from that object or from the story of that item. I invite you to always ask your local history museum about their collection policies and any gaps in their collections that they might be looking to fill. Sometimes an object's story can shift from a very personal, painful story. This was the last thing Dad painted before arthritis meant that he couldn't paint anymore. To a very broadly useful story, painting by Joe Smead of the Old Lake House, 1948, given by his son, James Smead. And donating it to a museum can help carry the story of the person forward while giving you a little bit of distance from the pain. Next is the condition of the item. When we're considering two very similar things, in general, museums will choose the item in the best condition over things too worn to be able to display well in a way that conveys the story instead of saying, oh my gosh, what's going on here? In a household, eventually old pots and worn out towels are disposed of and new ones are purchased for daily use. Most households have at least a few items hanging around that need repair or more specialized cleaning. On occasion, the wear is the story. And if that old paint-spattered flannel shirt that hangs in the garage is the last tangible connection to your great-grandma, make sure everyone around you knows exactly why you're keeping it so it doesn't accidentally get discarded. This goes for museums too. At the Historical Museum in Greenfield, there's a blackened and charred advertising sign from the Greenfield Recorder from a fire in 1930. We preferentially hold on to that sign as opposed to one that's an identical sign that's in pristine condition because it carries the story. Safety is a major issue in deciding what to do with the stuff. Obviously, if it's a safety hazard in your home, it needs immediate action to keep the household safe. We have to consider how any object might be handled or displayed. And I once had to turn down a really cool 1930s water cooler from a church that was used throughout the 30s at church coffee hours and church functions. it was radioactive. It had been made in the era when radiation was considered like the new health benefit. And we couldn't accession it. I can't bring that in. We can't handle it safely or store it safely. Fantastic story. We took some great pictures and we have those to carry that forward, but the object itself we couldn't accept. Sometimes the things are really worn out and really are beyond saving. Other things are potentially dangerous objects that are just too important to us, or that hold too much of a story, and it's worth finding a way to care for those items. There's a scrap of wood, a little scrap of wood in the museum in Greenfield that is filled with really sharp old rusty nails, and it's layers and layers of lead paint, but it was part of an original trim for a building built in 1758 by Asher Benjamin, who's a famous architect. So we're keeping that, even though if you don't know what it is, it's a dangerous object we should get rid of. So it's worth finding those stories. Like in a home, a museum has to be able to safely house everything. If the rooms are too full and it's overcrowded, it's really easy for things to get bumped or wrinkled or misplaced or damaged just by being overlooked. Space can be a real limitation. Space is limited, but the history is not. This is perhaps the hardest part of decision making. We're in Memorial Day and war is on my mind. It tends to be heavily represented in museums. Because it's so emotionally intense for everyone even remotely touched by it. We cannot possibly responsibly accept the uniforms offered by every family grieving the loss of the veteran in their lives. So we turn to other things, other parts of a person's life that can carry the story. And this Memorial Day weekend, it's on my mind more than usual. The desire to have the whole person remembered is not just their military service, but what did they love as a child? What made their return to civilian life easy or difficult? How did they grow over time? I recently sat with a donor who was twice drafted into Vietnam, and the thing that we agreed would best carry the story of his time was not, after all, his uniform, but a little handheld Minolta 16 camera that he took with him and led to a lifelong love of photography. He had not considered that camera might even matter. It's worn. It's never was top of the line. It wasn't really used for important things like his later cameras. It was just the one he carried throughout his service in Vietnam. It had been tucked in a drawer for 40 years. And just like in a home, if the things that really make a collection special are hidden away, and the stories about why these items matter are going unheard, everyone's missing out. Something a lot of museums don't talk about is deaccessioning, things from the collections that we let go of. This is an important part of any institution, deciding when to let things go. Items might become disconnected from the reason that they were given to the museum. We are left with fine examples of the item, but we are missing the personal and emotional stories of why they were used and saved by who and when and how they arrived at the museum. A big place this happens in my work is when an object with no story, for example, like a 1830s brass bed warmer, is in the collection and we don't have any background for it. And then a new one comes in with very clear story, like we know who and when and where. And that leads us to make that decision to deaccession the old one. This is an object unconnected from its story. It's lost. And this is an object that carries all its stories with it. And so we know where we're going to go with that. When something is worn out beyond its ability to share the story it holds and a newer one can carry the story, or when new information arrives that changes the story so entirely that the earlier item is no longer relevant, that's something that we pay attention to. That happens a lot with identifying photographs. And in the digital age, it's really fascinating because the further back you go, the more likely you have to have the name and date and why on the back of the photograph. But now so many of our photographs never even get printed. They just maybe get shared in a digital format. There's a saying currently in museum care that digital storage lasts forever or for 10 years, whichever comes first. And boy, if you want to keep something, print it out and write on the back of it with good dark pencil, and it'll just last. But in the cases where we get new evidence in, and we've had something identified in a museum as person X, and then we have absolutely solid ironclad proof that that is in fact person Y, the prior thing may move on. Getting rid of things is a great lesson to me. Working in museums for the last, 12 years, has been a big help to helping move things on in my own life, letting go of things. And I hope it's a lesson helpful for others as well, that we cannot, truly, truly cannot hold on to everything always and forever, much as we may want to. Today must pass on so that tomorrow can come. Letting go of half-finished books or craft projects or supplies we bought once because we thought we might really like that hobby, or things that need mending that we've been meaning to get to for over a decade, we can let that go. Let go. Make space for new things, new projects, new passions, and new memories. Sometimes what we treasured no longer fits in our lives, and sending it somewhere where it may be of use is the best option. What are you ready to pass on? Where will you send it? Sometimes we're just done with things that have piled up. The decisions there are what to keep, what to give away, what to toss. The current attention on decluttering encourages us to rethink why we have so much and to find new homes for things we no longer need. What do I have too many of? Where could it be of better use and service? In my work with private clients, I run into this with vintage and antique textiles. I often am asked if it's okay for them to use a beautiful vintage or antique item that they love that they've bought in an antique shop somewhere, or an old hand tool, or wear an old piece of jewelry. And there's two great secrets in my answer here. First is these things were made to be used and are in some cases more likely to last longer if they are used. I've seen 200-year-old wooden hand tools for woodworking that have been in steady use, kept clean, kept oiled by the use of the worker's hands, and they are still trucking along fine. They're in better condition than ones that have been shut away carefully in drawers and have dried out and loosened or rusted, or because no matter how carefully we hold things in environmental controls in a museum, and I will tell you right now that the vast number of small local museums around us do not have state-of-the-art controls. They're just doing the best they can. Get involved with them. They will love it. The tools that are in daily use are still serviceable. I've seen 150-year-old linens that are soft and beautiful. They're just fabulous. People are still using them. People are still enjoying them. And if they're shut in an acidic box that no one looks at for decades, and then there's maybe some condensation damage, maybe pest damage, maybe it had a mouse that made a little home. Get your beautiful things out. If you treasure them, show that you treasure them. Enjoy them. Now is the time. Use the things you love with care and for their purpose. And it's fine if at some point you decide to set them aside to carry their story on, which of course you have written down with an archival pen on acid-free cardstock and attached to the item. That carries into the future. Second, if you love something you bought at a shop somewhere and you have no idea where it came from and it's already disconnected from its story, you're doing it a service by using it every day or displaying it or repurposing it. And it's if someone else had the mindfulness to let it go, and you have had the appreciation to bring it home, use it. You might create new stories on it. You know, this is the quilt we bought at that tag sale when we went on that trip. And now it's our picnic blanket. And isn't that lovely? That's fine. Do that. And also know that not all stories can be saved. If you love something, if I love something because it was my sister's and I want to wear it every day until it's threadbare and ragged, do that. Save a little piece of it with a picture, maybe of you and the other person together, to carry the story and understand why it means. But we're building memories in ourselves, and the memories are not in things, they are in the meanings of things. And that is the place to focus in terms of when we assess what to keep and what to let go. Let things go. Large and small, use them, love them, pass them down while you still can share the stories. Talk about these things with the people around you. I have things, and I know we all do, that we treasure, that our children and family and friends don't know about because they're tucked away. Use these things. We have a fear of loss, which is understandable. And especially coming through this COVID year when there has been so much loss in so many ways, facing that can be a challenge. But using the things we love that give us beauty, that tell us our own stories of who we are and why we are and how we are walking on this earth, and making sure those stories are passed on is a way to combat that loss. And then what things we pass on is ultimately incidental. And I know that may sound very strange for someone who has a career working and caring for museum items, but it's a helpful balance. Know that the things that hold the most meaning and the most historical or emotional value are to you and to your others in your family or otherwise may not be what you think they are. Your story is more interesting than you realize. You know, we all walk around with these ideas of this is why we are valuable. This is the story of our life. And there are so many more tiny incidental things. Write them down. Write down the stories that are connected to the things you treasure. Tell the stories to family and friends. The more people know your story, the more likely that history will be to pass down to future generations. The story is the part to keep. Giving the item that carries that story to a family member or friend that can tell it, or a museum that will share it, is a way to keep your story alive. And plugging in my laptop is a way to keep my laptop alive. Okay. That's my talk. And I think we are again wildly out of order with things in the order of service. So forgive me for that. That's one of the stories we create today. I'm sorry, Nancy, you're muted. I'll mute myself.
It's time for response time.